no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me once again. We'll begin our hour of radio drama with The Saint this week and hear his story from March 25th, 1951, titled Formula for Death. After that, it's the story of Dr. Kildare and Alice Bradley, Repressive Amnesia, his story from April 9th, 1951.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as... The Saint.
Good afternoon, Mr. Templar.
Oh, good afternoon.
Well, come in, sir. Come in.
You're very kind.
Eh?
Well, it isn't everyone who'd invite a mere stranger in like this. And the fact that it's my own apartment into which I'm being invited is... Did you find what you were looking for?
Oh, dear. Then you can tell I've been searching through your things. But I took such pains to be neat. I abhor disorder.
That's exactly the way I feel about fat intruders who practice burglary in my apartment.
Burglary? Oh, really, sir, do I look like a burglar?
You look like a fastidious rhinoceros with a taste for Bond Street tailoring.
You see how appearances can be deceiving. I assure you, sir, another thing I am not is a rhinoceros.
That makes two things you aren't. Suppose we trade him for one thing you are.
Very well. For one thing, I am an unhappy man.
Your wife doesn't understand you.
No, the reason for my unhappiness is I no longer understand myself. I've changed. It worries me. Now, take last night, for example.
Yes?
It was such a commonplace activity, the sort of thing a man in my profession soon gets used to. And yet, all during it and afterwards, I found myself actually feeling sorry for the poor chap.
Oh, and what was happening to the poor chap?
Oh, the usual thing. Placing lighted matches under the fellow's fingernails, pressing burning cigars into the soles of his feet.
Sticking pins into the calf of his leg.
Yes, exactly. Prosaic, unoriginal, but still highly effective, eh? If they weren't effective, it's hardly likely that I would be here, wouldn't you say?
The point is, why are you here, Fatty?
The name is Archibald.
Archibald?
Roland P. Archibald. Obviously, I have come to regain possession of my property.
What property? What does it look like?
An envelope, Mr. Templar. A small manila envelope.
And the man you tortured said he gave it to me?
Yes. Fernandez said your name very clearly, even though we were doing a magnificent job of twisting his arm at the time.
And he was doing a pretty good job of pulling your leg.
What do you mean?
Look, Roland P. Archibald, my tailor is due here at any moment with a newly made suit that I am very eager to try on. I'd be obliged to you if you picked up your marbles and...
Nice.
That depends on whom it's being pointed at.
It's a Walther, one of the finest automatics the Germans ever made.
I suppose you'd suspect an ulterior motive if I asked you for a closer look.
The envelope, please. I've gone to considerable trouble, Mr. Templar. My patience is exhausted, thoroughly exhausted. I'm not as thin as I used to be.
Should we break some rye crisp together?
The envelope, for the last time.
Very well, I... suppose next you'll be pestering me for a stamp.
Wait, don't come any closer, Saint.
Well, I have to get the envelope. I just don't happen to have it on me.
I've searched this apartment thoroughly. It has to be on your person.
Outwitted, curse you.
I'll take it, please. Hand it over.
All right. Wouldn't it be amusing if when I reached into my pocket, instead of finding an envelope, I found a gun?
You have a gun, Mr. Templar?
A gun? Of course not. I was just...
Wait. Keep your hands where they are, Saint.
But the envelope...
Now raise your hands, please. Higher. Thank you. I'll remove the envelope from your pocket myself.
Playing it cagey, Chubby?
In my profession, caution is the difference between living and dying. Now, which pocket?
This one. Yes. Yep. It is a nice gun. You'd shown it to me when I asked. I wouldn't have had to kick in your bay window.
That kick is going to cost you your life.
Well, everything's expensive these days. Do you know the way out?
Yes, Mr. Templar. But what's more important, I know the way back.
Who is it?
It's Finley, Mr. Templar. I've brought your suit.
Oh, come in, Finley. If you'd been here 10 minutes ago, you'd have found me having my measure taken by someone else.
Indeed. You're displeased with my work, Mr. Templar?
That someone else wasn't a custom tailor, Finley. He was taking my measure with a gun. Well, now, let's see. How did this latest masterpiece of yours work out?
Oh, if I may say so, sir, I do believe I've exceeded myself.
Then you've exceeded the best tailor in town.
If you'll remove your coat, Mr. Templar. Yeah. I'll just take the suit out of the box. Yeah. Now, if you'll just slip the coat on.
All right. Oh, that's a good fit.
Step over to the mirror, sir.
Yeah. It's a well-tailored piece of... Hey, what's this?
Pardon?
This little... Well, I'll be...
Something wrong, sir?
Yeah. Yeah, or is it the latest fashion to wear a bullet hole beside the breast pocket?
What's that? A bullet hole?
Yeah, look, see for yourself. Small and round and still smelling of cordite.
But it isn't possible. How could a thing like that have happened?
Well, did this suit have any known enemies? Say, a bargain basement blue serge with a jealousy neurosis?
Mr. Templar, I'm dumbfounded. I don't know what to say.
Hey, what's this?
Another bullet hole?
Huh. Something in the inside pocket. It feels like... it's an envelope.
What?
Yeah, a small manila envelope. Now, that has a familiar ring. And so has this name penciled across the flap.
Name?
Yeah. Do you have a customer named Fernandez?
Fernandez? Why, no, sir. I know no one by that name. Who is he, sir?
A man who tells tall tales when his arm is twisted. A man who right now is probably very dead.
Ah, my beloved, fill the cup that clears today of past regret and future fears. Tomorrow I may be...
Exactly where you are right now. Quoting Omar Khayyam to a disinterested highball glass.
And empty, Simon. This cup that clears, empty.
An entirely temporary condition. Bartender.
Yeah?
Double for Mr. Murphy, and I will have the same.
Yes, sir.
Ah, your generosity is matched only by your intelligence and wits. What brings the mighty man catcher to Third Avenue?
Whiskey? Women?
An encyclopedia that walks like a man.
And drinks like a fish. I'm at your service, my saintly friend.
Well, I'm glad Einstein just wasn't available.
An amateur.
Hey, yeah, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Ah. Ask me anything, Simon. My brain is in your hands.
Yeah, we'll start with names. Two names.
Name them.
Roland T. Archibald.
Neat, natty, and fat with an extra bulge under the arm that probably means a gun.
Mm-hmm, that's Roland.
And that's all.
Now, don't tell me that filing system you call a brain has slipped up on Roland P.
I'm afraid so, Simon. He has, no friends, no acquaintances, no known occupation, no known anything. A very mysterious cookie.
Oh, I'd put him more in the plum pudding class. Next name?
Fire.
Fernandez.
Fernandez. Oh, Simon, I know so many.
I was afraid you would.
Three bartenders, a manufacturer of hearing aids, a truck driver. Oh, best and safest driver I ever knew.
All truck drivers are the best and the safest. Any more?
Safecracker, a professor of oriental languages, three more bartenders.
Well,
and,
what's the use? I wouldn't know the right one if I heard it. Look, take a look at this. Four sheets of foolscap.
You want to know what it is?
I know what it is. It's a formula, a complicated formula in nuclear physics.
Oh, now I'm learning. Where did you get this hot potato, Simon?
It came in a small manila envelope that I found in the pocket of a brand new suit.
And you want me to tell you what the formula means? Too bad Einstein wasn't available.
I'm more concerned with whom this belongs to rather than what it means. These initials printed in the upper left-hand corner.
The initials. Oh, yeah. D.R.L.
Mm-hmm. Which means?
D.R.L. Well, Simon, on a formula in nuclear physics, the L probably stands for laboratory.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Bartender. Mm-hmm. Triple for Mr. Murphy.
Yes, sir.
Drop in any time, Simon, any time. I shall always be glad to receive you.
Hi.
Hi.
Been waiting a long time for you to come out of that saloon.
Oh, why?
I wanted to see you, that's why. You're the saint, aren't you?
I'm the saint, and you're seeing me. What are you seeing me about?
The envelope. You know, the one with the formula. I want it.
Now, don't tell me it's your homework. You know who I am, Junior. Who are you?
It don't make no difference who I am. But if it'll make you happy...
It'll make me happy.
The name's Gus. Now, come on, give.
Why?
I got a gun in my pocket, that's why. And I'm told to bring back that envelope no matter what.
And if I refuse to give it to you, you'll shoot me and take it from me, huh?
That's the truth.
Hmm. You're new at this, aren't you?
I know my way around.
What happens when you shoot me here on the sidewalk?
You fall down, of course.
Eventually. But first a woman screams. There's always a woman who screams. And people start running toward us and a cop comes tearing up and... What do you do during all of this, Gus?
Me? I run.
The envelope?
I take it out of your pocket before I run.
Oh, you'll have time.
Huh?
When a man is shot, he doesn't just go plop like they do in the funny papers. First he clutches the spot where the bullet hit him, and then he staggers around for a while. Then he lurches, swerves, sinks to one knee, gets up again. You know, nothing brings out the ham in a man like being shot.
So?
Well, you'll have to wait until I'm through with my dying act before you can reach into my pocket, Gus. By that time...
Yeah. Maybe you're right.
Well, there will be no charge for the lesson.
Maybe I can teach you something.
Yeah. What? It's rifle fire. Get down. Over here, behind this car. Gus!
You're wrong, say. I didn't lurch or stagger. No woman screamed.
Gus!
I didn't stay.
Gus! I guess mine was the last lie you'll ever hear.
Mr. Templar! Oh, Mr. Templar!
Oh, it's you, Fatty.
Oh, Mr. Templar, I wish you wouldn't persist in calling me by that absurd name.
Well, Rose by any other name. I suppose the same sort of reasoning applies to a rat. Well, is this the big moment, Roland?
Eh?
Archibald's revenge, the payoff I was promised for, the kick in the stomach I delivered?
I would hardly honk my horn after you shout your name at the top of my voice on a busy thoroughfare if it were my intention to kill you, Mr. Templar.
No, I suppose you wouldn't. You'd park your car somewhere and stalk me from it with a high-powered rifle.
Well, you know, that sounds rather effective. I must bear it in mind for the future.
Yeah, I'm still bearing it in mind from the past. A kid named Gus caught the bullet for me.
Eh? I don't quite understand.
It's simple, Fatty. You missed me.
You think that I... Oh, really, sir, this is most amusing.
You won't hear Gus laughing.
My dear Templar, I am an expert rifleman. If I had aimed at you, I shouldn't have missed you. But come, sir, the temper of this conversation is not at all what I had in mind when I sought you out.
No?
I should like to suggest an armistice. A peace plan, as it were. With the loser paying a generous amount as... reparations to the winner.
Meaning that you wind up with a formula and I with the customary 30 pieces of silver.
No, come, Templar. You make it sound as if treason were involved. I assure you, the formula has nothing to do with any government project.
Then what is it, Chubby? A recipe for sweet potato pie? A method of manufacturing quick frozen bourbon? What is it?
The only person who can answer that is Dr. Vargas.
Dr. Vargas? Vargas? Thanks.
Where are you going, Mr. Templar?
Consult a phone book. You've just given me the answer to another one of three puzzling initials, Chubby. I think I know now what the middle one stands for. Good morning.
Good morning. May I help you?
So this is VRL, hmm? Good old VRL.
I beg your pardon?
I'd like to see Dr. Vargas.
Dr. Vargas?
You seem surprised. This is the Vargas Research Laboratories, VRL?
Of course, but Dr. Vargas never sees visitors.
Oh, I'm not a visitor. What I've got in a small manila envelope practically makes me a member of the firm.
I beg your pardon?
Again? And on such short acquaintance?
But what?
Merely tell the doctor it's probably a matter of life or death.
But I've strict instructions never to interrupt the doctor. Whom shall I say is calling?
Simon Templar.
Simon? The saint?
With a question mark where my halo ought to be. Do we know each other?
No.
Something tells me that we will. But until that happy moment,
if that Templar, send him right in!
Did you hear something? Something that sounded like artillery fire with the ability to make words?
Through that door, Mr. Templar.
Oh, thank you.
Well, come in, come in. Don't take all day about it. You can close the door now. Sit down, Templar. I believe we have something to discuss.
I have something to discuss with Dr. Vargas.
And who am I supposed to be, Snow White?
I'd rather not answer that.
Let's get right to the heart of it, Templar. I'm a busy woman.
And I'm a puzzled man, Doctor. And one of the things that puzzles me is how you knew I was coming here.
A friend told me to expect you.
A friend who carries about 75 extra pounds and who dislikes being called fatty, hmm? Not so sure I like your friends.
And I'm not so sure I give a hang. Just for the record, I've been checked and double-checked by almost every government agency in this and several other countries.
Oh, then you are doing government work. Your fat friend is a terrible liar.
Take it up with his clergyman. We're here to discuss a formula, one that somehow found its way out of this laboratory and into your pocket. You have it?
Yeah, it's burning a hole in that pocket.
Toss it over. This is what the fuss is all about?
That.
Good day, Templar.
Yes, it is rather nice, huh?
Then please feel free to go out and enjoy it and take this mishmash with you.
Mishmash?
Gibberish, prattle, nonsense, pick your own word.
The word I pick is why.
Why? Why what?
Look, if this formula is mishmash, why does a fat man named Archibald want it so badly? Why does a kid named Gus threaten to gun me down for it and wind up getting a rifle slug ride into another world? And why is a new suit delivered with a bullet hole over the heart? And why did...
I'm a scientist, not a policeman. Goodbye, Mr...
Dr. Vargas, excuse me.
Yes?
You're wanted in the laboratory right away.
Okay. Mr. Templar was just leaving. Will you show him out, Miss Fernandez?
Did she say Fernandez?
That's my name, Jean Fernandez.
Well, I'm delighted to hear it. You have a father, a husband perhaps, or is it a brother who might be mysteriously absent?
You know what? Oh, Mr. Templar, you must help me. You must.
How?
My brother, Louis, he... No, we can't talk here. Later.
Well, here's my address. And if you see a certain beef trust named Archibald before I do, don't tell him your name is Fernandez.
But he knows. Oh, Mr. Temple, I'm afraid. I'm afraid.
Who is it?
It's I, sir. Finley. May I see you for a moment?
Oh. Well, come in, Finley. Now, don't tell me you've made me a new coat this fast.
Oh, no, Mr. Templar. I could hardly do justice to my craft if I... Mr. Templar, I have a problem.
Well, judging from the record, you've come to the right place to unload it.
It's that object you found in the suit I delivered yesterday, sir.
The manila envelope?
Yes, sir. A gentleman called at my shop today inquiring for it. He insists that the envelope is his and demands its return.
A fat gentleman?
No, sir. A rather thin gentleman. His name is Fernandez.
I doubt it.
Pardon?
Did he tell you how the envelope happened to be found in my suit?
Yes, sir, he did. He was in for a fitting himself the other day.
Fernandez?
Yes, sir, Fernandez. He says he saw your coat hanging on the rack, admired it, and on an impulse tried it on. The envelope had been in his hands at the time.
And he just slipped it into the pocket and then forgot about it, huh?
So he informed me, sir. Now he's threatening me with legal action if I don't...
Tell the gentleman to call here for the envelope, Finley. If he can identify the contents, he can have it.
Well, that sounds reasonable enough, Mr. Templer. I'll tell him. Good day, sir, and thank you.
Oh, Finley.
Yes, sir.
Tell the gentleman I'll expect an explanation about that bullet hole in my coat. You know, I'm dying to hear how the gentleman gets around that one. Who is it this time?
It's me, Jean Fernandez. Quick, let me in.
Jean, I expected you hours ago.
I couldn't get away, and then when I did, he followed me. I had to lose him.
Who?
The fat man, Archibald.
You know, it's remarkable that he stays that fat, getting around as much as he does.
Oh, Mr. Templer, please. I haven't seen or heard from Lewis in 3 days. Do you know where...
No.
But I thought...
It isn't what you thought or what you think that's going to find your brother, Jean. It's what you know.
What I know? I don't understand.
Jean, what's your brother mixed up in?
No, I can't tell you. I came here because I thought you knew where Lewis is. I'm going now.
Do you want to see your brother again? Alive?
What? What do you mean?
The first and last I heard of your brother was when Fatty told me about putting lighted matches under his fingernails.
Oh, no. No.
I didn't mean to break it to you so ungently. But you've got to be made to realize that unless you tell me what...
All right. I'll tell you. But you must help me find Lewis. You must.
And I will. Now, first, that formula that seems to be so important and yet isn't.
I did that.
You did what?
I'll begin at the beginning.
That's a good place to begin from.
When Lewis was a very young man, in his teens, he was restless, nervous, neurotic, the doctor called him.
The type which, with a few lies here and a little propaganda there, is easily convinced that there's nothing more noble than a certain form of politics, huh?
Well, he joined the movement and rose rapidly in it. He was slated for big things. So one day he stopped being restless and neurotic and looked at himself and what he'd become with disgust.
And so he quit?
Oh, he only thought he quit. All these years, he didn't have the slightest connection with him. He never dreamed that they'd seek him out again and I'd expect him to...
They wanted something from him, huh? Something that he could get for them easier than anyone else could.
Well, they found out where I was working. They knew that Dr. Vargas was conducting important experiments, and they made my brother a proposition. Either he was to make me give him the Vargas formula, or he was to be executed. Oh, can't you see why I'm so worried?
Especially since the formula you gave your brother to pass along was a phony.
That's right. I couldn't give him the real one, not even to save his life. I simply couldn't. So I copied things from papers the doctor had thrown away, a little bit of each of a score of discarded papers. I thought it would work, that I'd fool them. Lewis doesn't know. He took it from me. Said goodbye.
And you haven't seen him since. Did he tell you where he was bringing the supposed formula? Who he was giving it to?
He said I'd be safer if I didn't know. He merely said that he was going to meet a man who'd been one of their cleverest agents for years. One of the most important men in the organization. Oh, it must be him. It must be.
Fatty? Well, what makes you think so?
Why else would he follow me? Why else would he...
Where are you going?
To look out the window. I want to see if he's there.
No, Jean, get away from that window.
I just want to see if he...
Somebody's been playing 4th of July with a high-powered rifle. This is no time to stand near... Jean, get down! Jean! 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 Oh.
Welcome home.
Again?
Come in, Mr. Templer. Come in, sir.
Someday I'll open the door of my apartment, walk in, and... this time you weren't quite so neat about it, Fatty.
The name is Archibald. And this time, Mr. Templer, it was someone else. Someone with deplorably messy habits who searched your apartment. You've been to the hospital?
Yes.
Miss Fernandez is...
She'll live. How about her brother? Will he?
He's still in a coma.
Now, suppose we discuss Roland P. Archibald. And what brings him here this time?
Well, my dear sir, the formula, naturally.
No, Roland, not the formula.
Huh?
I'm certain Dr. Vargas must have told you by now that the formula...
Why
is...
should she tell me anything?
Because of what you are, Roland. Something had been stolen from a laboratory, so you set out to bring it back. That's your job. We're both on the same team.
But, my dear Templar, I'm the villain in this opera. I'm the fellow who swore that he'd have your life, remember?
Your cover.
Huh?
You were making like the criminal element as a cover-up. You're a counterintelligence agent.
Am I?
Yeah, I began to get on to you and to what part you were playing in this drama when I called on Vargas this morning.
Huh?
She was expecting me. And the only one who could possibly have told her that I'd be dropping in was you.
And so?
The doctor is doing important work. She's been security checked from here to Sunday. So, since you're playing ball with her, you must be playing for the home team.
Have you anything at all that might help us find out who pressured Fernandez to go after the formula?
He's the same man who's been shooting off his rifle.
If we could only find out who he
is. I know who he is.
You do?
Sure. Fernandez gets the formula from his sister, goes to deliver it, has a few unpleasant words with Uncle Joe's one-man spy ring, and they start fighting with guns. My new suit is a casualty.
So was Fernandez, but he managed to get away and come to us. He's been in a coma ever since. Keeps muttering your name and the words, in the pocket, in the pocket.
Which led you to me and the pocket I was wearing instead of the pocket of the new suit that was hanging in the shop with my name on it.
Would you mind explaining?
Well, Fernandez wasn't sure he'd be able to get away. So he hid the manila envelope with the formula in the pocket of my new suit.
Get away? Get away from where?
From the tailor's shop where he went to meet the spy.
But why the tailor's shop? What?
Because the spy has a cover identity, too. He happens to be a...
Up your hands. Both of you.
I was saying he happens to be a tailor. A tailor named Finley.
Keep those hands up.
A tailor named Finley who one day tells me he's never heard of a man named Fernandez, and the next day tells me an old customer named Fernandez is called to claim the manila envelope.
You're very clever, Mr. Templar.
But where did you come from just now? Where were you hiding?
I was in the closet, Fatty. You very rudely dropped in here while I was going through Mr. Templar's things just before.
Still looking for that elusive manila envelope, eh, Finley?
Yes. But the search seems to be about over. Mr. Templar, sir. Oh, I know what you're going to say. It's worthless. Don't waste your words. Your last words. Just take the envelope out of your pocket and hand it over.
If you insist, and I see that you do.
Careful, Saint. Very careful now. Something is funny.
Yes, I was just thinking. Wouldn't it be amusing if when he reached into his pocket, instead of bringing out an envelope, he brought out a gun?
He wouldn't live long enough to point it. You have a gun, Templar?
A gun? Oh, why, of course not.
Wait. Stay just as you are, Templar. I'll take the envelope from your pocket myself.
Playing it cagey, huh?
In my profession, it... Which pocket?
This one.
Oh, that's splendid, Mr. Templar. Splendid, splendid. You must teach me that kick trick sometime. And the knockout punch was magnificent. Oh, I enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. But I don't think you enjoyed it nearly as much as I did. In fact, Fatty, I'm a little sorry it's over.
Oh, Mr. Templar, for the last time, the name is...
Yes?
Never mind. I think you've earned the right to call me Fatty.
You have been listening to another transcribed adventure of the Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, in tonight's cast you heard Patricia Jepson as Jean and Bill Conrad as Archibald. Jack Moyles was Finley, Whitfield Connors, Murphy. Sam Edwards played Gus and Jody Gilbert, Dr. Vargas. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at the same time for another exciting adventure of the Saint. Good night.
Good night's script of The Saint was written by Michael Cramoy. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Sathier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price is soon to be seen co-starring with Errol Flynn and Michelin Prell in William Marshall's production of Bloodline. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that the Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer is Don Stanley.
Three chimes mean good times on NBC. There's fun today and every Sunday with two of your favorite families on NBC. There's the Blandings family with more perplexing adventures in their famous dream house, starring Cary Grant and Betsy Drake as Mr. and Mrs. Blandings. And Sunday also means the Harris family with Frankie, Julius, and all the other favorites of the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. And today, hear Judy Holliday, Jimmy Durante, Carmen Miranda on The Big Show on NBC.
The story of Dr. Kildare.
Whatsoever house I enter, there will I go for the benefit of the sick. And whatsoever things I see or hear concerning the life of men, I will keep silence thereon, counting such things to be held as sacred trusts. I will exercise my art solely for the cure of...
The story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres and Lionel Barrymore. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer brought you those famous motion pictures. Now this exciting, heartwarming series is heard on radio. In just a moment, the story of Dr. Kildare. But first, your announcer. Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres as Dr. Kildare and Lionel Barrymore as Dr. Gillespie.
Blair General Hospital, one of the great citadels of American medicine. A clump of gray-white buildings planted deep in the heart of New York, the nerve center of medical progress, where great minds and skilled hands wage man's everlasting battle against death and disease. Blair General Hospital, where life begins, where life ends, where life goes on.
Blair General Hospital, maternity ward. One moment, Dr. Nephew. Go ahead, please.
Oh, come on, Sally, how about it, will you, huh?
Joe Wayman, if I told you once...
Yeah, I know, but maybe you could change your mind. Why, I'll buy you a hamburger if you'll go.
A hamburger? Why, lots of men would be... Good evening. Can I help you? Help me? I don't know. Well, did you want to see somebody, miss? Somebody? I don't know.
She looks like she needs a doctor.
Look, honey, I'll call one of the doctors. Now, if you'll just give me your name. My name? Yes. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, Kildare. How is she?
I've given her a sedative, Dr. Gillespie. Think she'll sleep through until morning now. Here are the clothes she was wearing. That's a $1,000 coat. Mm-hmm. No identification.
Learn anything from your examination?
Not much. She has a small bruise on her forehead and abrasions on both knees. Apparently suffered a slight fall 5 or 6 hours ago.
Serious enough to cause a brain injury?
No. Our first idea still goes. It's psychogenic amnesia. Repressive. I'm sure of that.
Ran against some situation she couldn't solve. Couldn't bear to think about. So her mind took over for her and blanked out her memory. Amnesia. Well, what do you want, big ears?
I hate to interrupt, Dr. Gillespie.
Well, then why are you doing it?
Well, because Dr. Carew just called. He's on his way down here, that's why.
Carew, huh? Now, what brings our beloved superintendent out of his fleece-lined penthouse?
He may have a report from the police.
Oh, how is that girl, Dr. Gillespie?
No better in the morning, Parker. Asleep right now.
Oh, poor child. Must be awful to get amnesia and have your mind go completely blank.
Parker, if that's a definition of amnesia, you've had it for years. Now get out of here.
Well, you don't have to shout at me.
I know I don't have to, but I enjoy it. Now, scat.
Oh, you.
Miss Parker, I'm terribly sorry,
Doctor.
I didn't see you coming.
All right, Parker, it's all right. You didn't hurt anything but his gardenia. Come in, Carew.
Personnel in this hospital simply must learn to... Well, however, I didn't come here for that.
No? Remarkable.
Gentlemen, the Missing Persons Bureau is sending someone over. I assume you'll have the patient ready for photographing, questioning.
Why, that's impossible, Dr. Carew. I've given her a sedative. She's in no shape to be questioned tonight.
Well, now, Dr. Kildare, I have to consider the best interests of the hospital in matters like this, and
I'm considering the best interests of my patient.
I think you'd better let me decide what may be...
Carew, do you know anything about a dress designer named... Jonton.
Jonton? Why, only that he's terrifically expensive. My wife once said, Casey, too.
Well, this girl's clothes come from there. You know, it might be unfortunate if you fail to give proper care and protection to the favorite daughter of some prominent, wealthy, influential family.
Well, now, Dr. Gillespie, I didn't realize...
Some
that she...
family that might decide to get even... For such treatment.
I mean, our first concern is the patient, of course. And tomorrow would probably be soon enough.
Some family that might have influence of the Board of Regents.
Or whenever you and Dr. Kildare think she's ready. gentlemen, if you'll excuse me, I think I'd better go and make a phone call right away.
I tell you, I don't know. I can't remember. I want to try. I want to remember, but I...
There, now, it's all right. Dr. Gillespie and I understand that you're trying, and we're trying to help.
I really do want to remember. And sometimes I almost can. And then I start to get terribly frightened. And I can't remember anything.
Well, now, I think you've remembered quite a lot of things already. We're pretty sure that you've lived in New York most of your life. You know the city. You know something about literature, music. You speak a little French. Your parents are probably quite well-to-do.
No, I have no parents. I'm quite sure of that.
Why are you sure?
How can I tell you when I don't remember?
No, of course you can't. Well, suppose we try something else. Now, you close your eyes for a moment and try to imagine the scene I'm describing.
All right.
Now, you're standing just outside the main entrance of the hospital. You have your memory back, and everything is wonderful, and you want to go home.
Yes.
So you step over to the curb and get into a taxi.
And the driver closed the door.
And he says, "Where to, miss?" And you answer.
And I say, "I don't know."
Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. But you don't answer because you've changed your mind. You don't want to go home. Instead, you want to go to see someone you care a great deal for.
Yes. Uncle George.
So, you have the driver take you to...
To... I don't know. I just said that I don't know any Uncle George.
Oh, sure you do. What did he call you when you were a little girl? What was it he used to call you?
Why, it was... I don't have any name. I don't know. I can't remember. Oh, I want to remember, but I can't. Oh, please, can't you help me? Oh, please.
So, as I told Dr. Carew here, I didn't learn of my daughter's disappearance until I got home from Baltimore a few hours ago. Been down there for 3 days on business, you know. Yes, of course. Gentlemen, Mr. Bradley is head of Bradley & Company Limited. Branches in all the principal cities.
Yeah. And when you got home, then, the housekeeper told you your daughter was gone.
Yes. She said Alice slipped and fell on the stairway yesterday, but got up at once and seemed all right. An hour afterward, she left the house and hasn't been back. I thought until I called there that she might have gone upstate to her Uncle George.
Uncle George, huh?
Mr. Bradley, has there been anything strange or unusual that you've noticed in her actions lately?
Well, as a matter of fact, there has, Dr. Kildare. I suppose I should have called in a doctor, but I didn't expect anything like this.
I understand her mother's not living, Mr. Bradley.
I lost my wife in an unfortunate accident many years ago.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's possible, of course, that the girl here isn't your daughter, but everything does.
Well, from the photograph the police showed me, I'm positive she is. Couldn't I see her now to make sure?
Well, I think so. Parker said she'd have her ready in 5 minutes. Let's go see.
It's only a few doors down the corridor. If you step this way, Mr. Bradley.
Thank you.
Well, I think you should understand a few of the possibilities here, Mr. Bradley. She may not recognize you. Probably won't, in fact.
Yes, I realize that, Dr. Mildred.
Possible to predict what her reaction may be.
I think I understand. Well, here we are, gentlemen. Better call the nurse, I imagine.
Parker, is it all right to come in now?
Yes, Dr. Gillespie. I was just coming to tell you.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Bradley, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Hello, Alan. How are you, honey?
Who are you?
Why, I'm your father, darling. Don't you know me?
No! No, you're not! Go away! Go away!
Alice!
You're not my father! You're not! You're a murderer! And you're going to kill me, too!
Please, Alice.
Make him go away! Don't let him come near me!
You better go outside, Mr.
Bradley.
No,
no, no!
Parker,
right
here, Dr. Kilby. Do you have any spirits of ammonia?
Yes, Doctor, right here on the train.
Give her one ampule and half a glass of water. I'll be right back.
All right, Dr. Kilby.
The only sensible thing to do under the circumstances. Oh, how is she, Dr.
Kildare? She'll be all right now, Mr. Bradley.
Kildare, Mr. Bradley has been stating his intentions of taking his daughter home tonight.
Oh, but that's impossible. She's in no condition to leave here.
Kildare, now, let's not be hasty.
I happen to be her father, Dr. Kildare, and in my opinion, she'll be a lot better off in her own home than she will be here in an institution. Well, I happen to be her doctor, Mr. Bradley. And in my opinion, she can't be moved.
Now, Dr. Kildare, I backed you up in the matter of the police, but this is different. Mr. Bradley happens to be very influential. I mean, he's the girl's father, and I must insist.
Carew, I've been thinking about retiring.
But you can't. This hospital, the value of your name to it, I won't even think of it.
I may buy a farm up in Connecticut somewhere and raise pineapples.
Dr. Gillespie, I won't even hear another word. Oh, dear. Mr. Bradley, I'm inclined to believe that consideration for the welfare of your daughter does necessitate her remaining with us for the present.
Well, that's that. Rank only records 4 of the cases of repressive amnesia and 7, 3, that are similar at least. 7 used hypnosis with 1. The others were treated by locating areas of disturbance.
I think we've spotted at least 2 of those areas.
Yes. It seems that her emotional conflict stems from the fact that she's Alice Bradley and that she has a father. Or that this particular man is her father.
She mentioned an Uncle George this morning. About the only name she wasn't scared of.
Bradley mentioned the same name.
Also, she used the word murderer when her father came into the room.
Can't be sure what she meant by it, though. She didn't even consciously recognize Bradley at the time.
But her mind did. Interesting, though. Human minds are fascinating things, Jimmy. They're like strange, unexplored countries. Each one different from every other. And you never know what you'll run into. Now, who in the tongue? Gillespie speaking. Oh, Molly Bird. What? Yeah, we'll be right up there, Molly. Well, Jimmy, we can stop trying to find out what's in the patient's mind and start worrying about finding the patient.
What?
Yes. The girl has disappeared. Gone. Her room is empty.
Return to the story of Dr. Kildare in just a moment. Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres as Dr. Kildare and Lionel Barrymore as Dr. Gillespie.
I just can't help it. I blame myself for the whole thing, Dr. Gillespie. I shouldn't have gone out and left her alone. She was sleeping so peacefully. Or at least she seemed to be. And after all, no one told me to stay right with her. So
Walker!
Yes, Dr. Gillespie.
You've been quacking for 10 minutes like an old mother duck.
Well.
So either shut up or lay an egg.
Oh, horrible man.
Still there? Any luck?
Not much, Dr. Gillespie. Wayman's out in front. Cab driver. She apparently left the building. All right. Molly Bird rummaged through a wardrobe and put on a spare nurse's uniform.
Clever about it, too. Managed to get out of a room and leave the building without being seen.
And she's put us in quite a spot. After we insisted. Kept here.
Yeah. Carew will have a short circuit and blow a pearl button for this. I'd like to see the... Come in! You, Wayman.
Me. Right, Dr. Gillespie.
Find out anything, Joe?
Sure, boss. Benny took her in his cab. She gave him an IOU because she didn't have no money, and he figured it was okay because he thought she was a nurse here. He just got back.
Back from where? Where'd he take her?
Doc, you ain't going to believe this, but so help me. Benny says he leave her out at the main entrance of Woodlawn Cemetery.
Slow down, Joe. Looks like something white over there through the bushes.
Something white is the last thing I want to see in this place.
Not if it's in a nurse's uniform. Flash the light over that way.
Okay, boy. Hey, it's a dame, all right.
Yeah, stop the ambulance. It's bound to be her. I was getting scared we'd missed her.
It's okay?
Yeah. Now get a blanket out of the back and bring her with you. It's cold.
All right. I'll be right with you.
Well, Miss Bradley. Dr. Kildare, you remember.
Oh, you brought a man and said he was... I don't have any father. I don't.
Of course not. It was all a mistake. And everything's all right now.
Here's the blanket to us.
Thanks, Joe. Here, honey. Let's put this around. Can't have you catching cold. There.
I was cold, I guess.
How did you happen to come here, Alice? Cemetery, this time of night.
I don't know. I think I wanted to see someone.
Oh? Who?
It seemed like it was a beautiful lady who died a long time ago.
Jeepers.
Do you know what her name was?
I can't remember.
Where did she die? Was it in New York?
No. I don't know. It was a long time ago. It was in Switzerland.
Switzerland?
It was on a lake. In a boat. An accident, they said. But it wasn't. I know it wasn't.
Then what did happen?
Happened? He did it. He murdered her.
How do you know?
Because she told me he did.
Oh, gee, boy, sir. I don't know.
If he isn't alive, how could she tell you?
It was a diary. I found her diary. And she said, Albert is taking me to Europe next week. I know... He plans to kill me while we're there.
Alice, do you know who Albert is?
No! No, I don't remember.
Is it the name of your...
No! No, I can't remember. I don't know.
I didn't. We're going to take you back now. Back where you'll be safe. Come on. Get up now.
Oh, please take me
back. Now, you start walking toward the ambulance. I'll be with you in a moment.
Oh,
well, she wonder if she'll give her a hand.
Yeah. Oh, wait a second. I want to take a look at this headstone. Got a match, Joe?
A match? Oh, sure. I'm going to stab one. Oh, yes. There you are.
Martha Bradley, beloved wife of Albert J. Bradley, born October 5th, 1909, died on June
20th, 1936. Who is she, Doc?
The girl's mother. Come on, Joe. Let's get her back to the hospital.
Jimmy, the story seems to fall together pretty well now.
Yes, her mind saved her from the situation by blanking out her identity, by repressing the realization that she was Alice Bradley, the father who had killed her mother.
So we're sure of that much. But where do we go from there, Jimmy?
I don't know. Of course, she's had a terrific emotional shock. It may be tough to bring her out of it. And suppose we do. We can't send her right back home into the same situation.
Well, I'm afraid I don't see how we can keep from doing it.
But if he is the killer?
Jimmy, a doctor can only help a patient just so far. There always comes a point where the case passes out of his hands. Nothing more he can do about it than be... All right, Parker, you're sorry to interrupt, but...
Well,
but what?
Mr. Bradley's here to see you.
Bradley?
Well, don't just stand there. Send him in.
All right, Mr. Bradley. You may go in now.
Thank you. Good evening, gentlemen. Have you had any success yet in helping my daughter?
Kildare, suppose you inform our visitor of the nature of our present conclusion.
Mr. Bradley, a couple of weeks ago, your daughter came across an old diary that belonged to your wife. Do you know anything about it?
Yes, there was one.
In the diary, your wife claimed that you were taking her to Europe for the purpose of murdering her.
But...
Now, Alice believed that you did.
That I killed Martha? Gentlemen, is this the reason for the mental state Alice is in?
Yes.
Oh, the poor child. I should have told her, but... Well, the memories were painful and... Well, here's what happened. Martha made that same accusation in letters to several of our friends. She was nervous, unstrung. It was her doctor, in fact, who advised the trip to Europe. Once we were there, she seemed more herself. And then one day in Switzerland, she was out on the lake in a canoe. It capsized, and she couldn't swim. Hmm.
And you, Mr. Bradley, you could swim?
Why, yes, of course. Gentlemen, my wife took the boat out alone. I'd gone climbing with a party of 20 from the hotel. Some of them live right here in New York now. As a matter of fact, Martha's brother George was with us.
Well, Mr. Bradley, I apologize for what I was almost thinking.
It's all right. I can understand why you thought so.
As much as I hate to interfere with the exchange of mutual confidences, may I remind you that we still have a patient who isn't cured.
I think I may know a way to help her now. Dr. Gillespie, do you mind if I have a try at it?
Mind? You'd do it anyway. Sure, Jimmy, go ahead.
I want you to keep thinking that, honey, all the time. That you trust me, that I'm going to help you, and that everything's going to be all right.
Yes, Dr. Kildare.
And keep remembering Uncle George, too, because I'm going to read you a letter from him now. Remember all the time that Uncle George wrote these words.
Yes.
Now it says, Dear Albert, I am terribly upset to hear what's happened to Alice. How could she possibly believe such a thing of you, her own father?
No. No.
Now remember, it's Uncle George who wrote this. It goes on. Both of us know that Martha didn't mean what she wrote in that diary. Both of us know that she was alone in the boat, that you were with me, that you couldn't possibly have killed her. We could only tell Alice this.
Oh, strange. I feel so strange.
If Alice could only remember, so I could tell her that she has nothing to worry about, that everything is all right, that you, her father, are innocent. That you love her very much.
Oh! Oh! Oh, yes! Yes! My father! Where's my father?
Mr. Bradley, you may come in now.
In just a moment, we will return to the story of Dr. Kildare.
Thank you.
once again, the story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres as Dr. Kildare and Lionel Barrymore as Dr. Gillespie.
Gillespie speaking. Oh, fine, fine, fine. Yes. Yeah, Kildare's here, too. Send her in. That was Molly. Says Alice Bradley's been discharged and wants to say goodbye before she leaves.
Oh, good. She's quite a gal now that she's got her memory back.
Beautiful young girl returns to arms of wealthy, doting father. Traditional happy ending.
Yes, I guess it is at that.
Anybody home?
Oh, come in, Miss Bradley.
Hello, you two.
Well, young lady, you look as though you had a pretty fair chance of living.
Oh, I feel fine, Dr. Glassy. I wanted to thank both of you for what you did for me.
Thank Kildare if you want to.
You know, Dr. Kildare, I was thinking of something funny on the way up here.
Oh? What was it?
Well, when I came here to the hospital, I didn't have any memory at all. Now I'm a woman with a past.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Kildare, you're responsible for the whole thing.
Well, Jimmy?
Well, I...
Goodbye, Dr. Kildare.
You have just heard the story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres and Lionel Barrymore. Dr. Kildare is presented by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Malaya, starring Spencer Tracy, James Stewart, Valentina Cortesa, Sidney Greenstreet, and John Hodiak. This program was written by Les Crutchfield and directed by William P. Russo. Original music composed and conducted by Walter Schumann. Supporting cast included Loreen Tuttle, Virginia Gregg, Ted Osborne, Bill Conrad, Ed Max, and Marie Blake. Dick Joy speaking.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Dr. Kildare, the Saint, past episodes of this podcast, and all the others at RelicRadio.com. You'll also find our Shoutcast stream there. And if you'd like to help support it all, our donate button. Your support makes all of this possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thank you for joining me today. Talk again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.